This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville, FUBAR Radio.
You see me in the drop, just a roaster. The V12 over with my roaster. The Mac 11 all up in my holster. Yeah, come again. Be easy when you're talking to the greasy ones. You see me in the hoodie with the greasy ones. Shades hoodie on, yes, the greasy ones. Come again.
Yeah, I'm low car. Light skin pussy on my sofa. Man straight boss it, I'm a salsa. Man straight popping, I'm a toaster. Man straight duppy, I'm a gold star. Man straight puppies and a loafer. Man's plates cutting a samosa. And gal stay cupping on a coaster. Just betting, man's just petting. Hollow and swizzy, that's just settings. Man don't diss him, man just getting. Straight slice niggas, man's just wetting. Old school niggas, man's just vetting. Quick little change, man just setting. Ain't violated, man just let him. Cause if man gets wicked, man's just deading. You're a joker. Man keep betting on your poker. Man gets money in the chocha. Man street swing it, I'm a gopher. Quick go get it, you're a gopher. Man street whipping with my chauffeur. 5 minute meeting with the broker. Lie in the weed up, I'm a smoker. Talking the weed up, I'm a toker. Stroking the pussy, I'm a stroker. Gave me the pussy like a brochure. Sunday jukey, I'm a roaster. Old school trapper in the roadster. Just link poppy for the coca. Big bad hollow on the poster. Straight headlining with the coaster.
Yeah, I'm loca. Your man puta like a chocha. You see me in the drop, just a roaster. The V12 over with my roaster. The Mac 11 all up in my holster. Yeah, come again. Be easy when you're talking to the greasy ones. You see me in the hoodie with the greasy ones. Shades hoodie on, yes, the greasy ones. Come again.
Let's set the rides back up.
Come again. You want this to regular?
Come again. And we have come again. It is Michael Payne, Marcel and Natalie, otherwise known as the MMN show. No joking. It's Michael, Natalie and Marcel, or Marcel, Natalie and Michael, otherwise known as the MMN show. This is the Halloween episode.
It is actually Halloween today, so
it's
nice.
Very much Halloween.
Happy
today.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you too. We've got a packed show full of non-scary guests.
Well, I don't know yet, they haven't come in.
This
it
is very
be.
True.
It might be.
None of them scare me. That said, A Problem is our first guest. So he's got straight to the point there with his name.
Yeah.
So we'll have to watch out for him this Halloween.
For sure, yeah.
Dan Masaku from The Circle is going to pop in and chat to the reality TV god.
I actually saw Dan the other day at our masquerade ball.
Oh. Okay, so wait a minute. How did you see him if you were at a masquerade ball?
Because he come up to me and was like, I'm on your show on Wednesday. I was like, what's happening, Dan?
Did you not say to him, who the fuck are you, mate? Take your mask off.
No, because we was outside, and he kind of went, I went, oh yeah, but I didn't really recognize him, and then he was like, yeah, but it's me, Dan.
Oh,
from
right.
I was like, from The Circle.
And then he got thrown out shortly after.
stop attacking me, bro.
That'd been funny. You with a mask off, you're out. And then Ill Blue
Nice.
Are coming in. They've had a lot of success recently. A big new tune, "Chop My Money," with a whole heap of Crept and Conan are on
it. The video for that is sick.
It's
as
mental,
well.
isn't it? It's mental. They've got some absolute stars on that tune, and some up and comers as well. So I'm sure they'll be talking to us about that when they pop in at like 5:30. I'm guessing.
These are all like TBC times because we just get people in when they turn up, really.
We've only got one rapper, haven't we? That's problem. True, so again, true. You know...
You see what I did there? I booked him in first.
You did, yeah, for real.
Wise.
So, looks like we'll see him just after Real Blue then.
He'll end up being Callum's guest.
Honestly. That would be such a cool shock for him, isn't it?
I've
got a couple of things that I want to talk about with our guests, but first we should kind of catch up.
Well, Marcy, you've been away for not for three weeks, 1 week. Welcome back.
Ah, yes.
Where have you been? What have you been doing?
What have I been doing for that week? As I said, I went to a masquerade ball up in Leeds. It was my boy.
Oh,
Tom
is that where it was?
It was up in Leeds. It was my boy Tom Zanetti's masquerade ball.
Right, hence the location.
Was that just a friend, or was it in aid of a charity, or was it an event? What was it?
No, it was just a party.
Oh, okay.
I just went up there to party in Leeds. Leeds has got a nice party.
Yeah,
nightlife up there, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I've been to Leeds once. I've partied twice when I went to Leeds. The last time
he's been to Leeds once, but he's partied twice. That says it all.
Sorry, I've been to Leeds 3 times. Sorry, and the last time I went, I didn't party, but I was literally staying in an Airbnb above a Weatherspoons, I think, or one of those mainstream pub chains.
Yeah,
establishments.
And I actually remember this particular stay in Leeds distinctly, because I actually came up with an idea that if you really wanted to get with someone, if you really wanted to kind of break the ice, chirp someone, all you'd have to do is if you're near the establishment, you just go to your locations, right, on Instagram, you find that establishment and you check who's tagging themselves in photos there, and then you've got their name.
That's good advice. That's for the love doctor.
It's very creepy.
It's very stalkerish.
It's very creepy.
You walk up to someone and go, "Hello."
Rachel. I'm guessing your name's Rachel, yeah. And if she doesn't like you, she doesn't like you. If she does, then it's only a little white lie.
It's a chirping technique. I feel that. One for the second book, maybe.
I don't suggest anyone does it. I definitely didn't do it.
Okay.
I think that's the reason I didn't go out that night in Leeds, because I didn't want to do it.
But you had a nice time at a masquerade ball in Leeds.
I did. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. The night before that, I was at my friend's another Halloween party. It was called Hallowzeem. It's my friend Azeem's party.
They're quite famous, aren't they?
Yeah, it was literally crazy. Like there was people in there that I can't remember who I saw in there, but I saw so many, like, you see loads of like kind of like famous people and you're like, "Wow, you're just partying, man." It's cool. It was nice. It was a good vibe. So
does it not get quite confusing though, because you see a lot of famous people and then you're like, "Oh wait, actually Frankenstein's monster doesn't actually exist, so that's obviously someone in costume." And then there's two layers to it, because that could be someone famous dressed up.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was someone famous dressed up as someone else famous.
Mental.
Okay.
Mindfuck.
Also, you ate some chicken wings. I saw you did a challenge.
Oh.
Sweaty chicken
wings. Oh, my God. I was dying watching that, by the way.
That's the
funniest shit I've seen for a while.
No, like you need to wait till you see the actual full video, because there's a full length video that's going to be dropping on the YouTube. But for the little taste, I want to show people, because that was one of the most extreme things. It was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, literally, I feel like it was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life anyway.
Yeah.
But it was unimaginable pain. Like, it was pain. Like, I felt like I died at one point. I couldn't see. There was all kinds of like feelings and emotions that happened to me, like from taking a bite of the actual one hot wing that I got through. I didn't even get through the fourth. I had it in my mouth. I spat it back out again.
It looked like it crept up on you as well. Because you look like you were soldiering it for a little bit. I was banging through.
I was like, "Yeah, this is calm. This ain't a problem."
Right.
And then I picked up the second one and I went to put it in my mouth and I got this thing in my hand and just went, "No." and my whole body kind of like shuddered with it. And then as I went to put it in my mouth, it just went, "Mm." And then all of a sudden the steam went through the glasses.
Yeah.
My head started sweating, and everyone was like, "Oh shit!" Like, and you know when there's people going, "Oh shit!" And, they, and then people start laughing, and you can't see nothing because your goggles are clouded. You can't see, and everyone's just laughing at you, mate. I was like, "Ah!" And then I went to take my glasses off. The guy was like, "No!" Because you got a pepper on your hand.
Yeah.
So if you put your hand anywhere near your face, you're just setting your eyeball on fire.
Jesus.
It was crazy. Jesus. It was crazy. But I'm just saying, like, if you feel like you can handle hot wings, go down and check him out, because I thought I could handle hot wings. I couldn't.
Because it's not just the hot wings either, it's the lasting side effects, isn't it? Your kind of bowel movements are going to
betray you. Luckily for me, I spat out the chicken that I had in my mouth.
Okay.
So I didn't digest it, because if I digested it, I probably wouldn't be here today, guys.
Mm. Wow.
I'd probably be on the toilet.
A ring of fire.
Mm. Johnny Cash must have done the same challenge.
100%. That ring of fire.
Ring of fire.
Well, Michael Payne, you went to the Natural History Museum.
I did. With my godson and his mum. It was a lovely little day out, actually. We went to see the... I thought he liked dinosaurs. He's 5 years old, and his bedroom wall, there's a couple of posters of dinosaurs, and he's got a couple of picture books and whatnot on the subject. Took him to the moving Tyrannosaurus Rex. He shat himself. Not literally, but he might as well have. He might as well have just been doing the Hot Wings Challenge himself. He was distressed.
Nah, do you know what? Like honestly, like I think my nephew was fully into like Transformers and those kind of things, because he used to watch the cartoons. So then anyway, like I put on a real life thing. This is when he was really young. I put on a real life thing, and he got scared of the real life Transformers, because it seems more real to them than just seeing like a picture of a dinosaur in a book or whatever. You know what I mean?
It's yeah, this was this is like a, I don't know, 10 to 12 foot beast with a, like a moving head and tail. Yeah. And
so it feels like he's gonna eat him, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
but then I was just saying to him, his name's Kyrene. I was saying, look at all the other kids. There was a little girl. She was just like, she couldn't get close enough. You know, she was holding onto the banisters and looking up, and it was quite sad to see, because I genuinely thought that I was doing a good thing, you know, by taking him to see the dinosaurs. But he really enjoyed the human biology section, so that was good. That kind of put me back into the black, so to speak, because I was definitely in the red with points for a little while, you know.
I'm never going out with Uncle Justin again.
Honestly, I'm his godfather, for fuck's sake, you know, like... He has to go out with me. You know what I mean, I'll be your legal guardian if everybody dies. Yeah. So you better get used to this shit, because we're getting back. But we went on the little carousel after as well. He enjoyed that.
I see the picture on the Instagram. Mm. Yeah.
And then we went and had little Five Guys. He hated the milkshake, but he loved the burger. Oh no, I'm telling you all this, to be fair. What? This is too much detail.
Yeah, nice. What milkshake did he go for, though?
He went for the strawberry and hated it.
And I
tasted it, and it did taste... I know it sounds dumb, but it tasted a little too authentic. You know McDonald's milkshake? You know that's not real strawberries in that shit.
Yeah.
Or if it is, they've managed to do something to it where it just tastes like a computer made it. Do you know what I mean? But with Five Guys milkshake, it tastes like someone fully just churned some real strawberries from across the road and shit.
Yeah, we're not used to that.
Yeah, we're not used to that, you know. We want that real fake shit.
Did you ever like the Nesquik? I hated the Nesquik one, because it was really thin and chalky. You know,
the Nesquik one was the best. Well, flavour-wise, the Nesquik one was the best.
I used to love Nesquik so much. But what you had to do, like, because like if you just mix Nesquik with milk, it didn't have the texture you wanted, so you had to put ice cream in it.
Boom. Oh, there you go.
Maybe I never did that, why.
That's what I was missing at first, and then I realised that's what McDonald's do.
Yeah,
good tip from Marcel, but we also have to congratulate Marcel, or you do, on the pumpkin challenge, which Marcel won.
Congratulations.
Very good.
I'm going to say thank you so much, because it's been a little while since I've actually won something, and... Yeah, like, I was proud of my pumpkin. I don't know where my pumpkin is now, but...
It's gone, but you can go and check out the video everywhere on our Instagram, on our Twitter, of Marcel winning. Can. I mean, spoiler, but Marcel did win.
Mm.
Michael Payne, you did a W. I tried to do a Wu-Tang W,
and the top came off.
It was close. The top was good.
It looked good when there was a candle lit inside it. Without it, it did just look like someone had ripped off. You'd ripped off the front of the pumpkin.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like.
I cheated it on Instagram a little bit. The angle belied the shit quality of my Wu-Tang pumpkin as well. So.
shout out Nat for our camera angles.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you. And I didn't even fix it because you still won.
Yeah, there this is go. True. There but did that, is that what filled you with the hubris to go and try that Hot Wings challenge?
No. Do you know what? Like, I'd already agreed to do the Hot Wings challenge like about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then like I was meant to do it the week before, but then I couldn't do it for like unforeseen reasons.
Mm. Okay.
Like why. Fear.
But then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go down and do it. Hype it up and go do the thing. Cause I thought to myself, honestly, I felt like I was gonna do it.
Okay.
I did feel like I was gonna do it.
I've seen people complete that, and I've seen the light behind their eyes go out.
Like they're dead.
Like they're just dead behind the eyes.
They showed me a video of someone doing it, and like they were literally like. They got to the fifth one and they were like,
honestly,
like kind of twisting themselves, you know, like in the Exorcist and stuff like that. They were like doing stuff like that.
I'm not like, surprised that shit would send you into anaphylactic shock.
Sure.
Like, I one of them would fuck me up, you know. No. I can't believe that people do, what is it, five usually?
No,
in one of the challenges,
you have to do six. You have to do like, so basically, like it was 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you have 5 minutes to eat them and then you have to wait for 5 minutes afterwards.
Oh, to drink.
To drink milk.
No.
Long for man. I saw, do you know the Red Dog Saloon in Hoxton, in Hoxton Square? I was having dinner there with some friends and there was a guy behind us. And I turned around and I saw that there were a lot of people sort of with him and around him. But I just thought, that's normal. There's a lot of people there, you know. Must be the most popular guy in the crew. So he's put one wing in his mouth. And he's obviously just come from work. He works on the Square Mile. Maybe they're all wearing suits. And he puts one of the wings in his mouth, and then I'm not that bothered, so I carry on with my own meal. I turn around a few minutes later, and he's just finished the last one. And like, this is a white guy, so his hair kind of is the one that is what gave me away. His hair was matted to his head completely. It looked like someone had, like, he'd been trying to chirp some woman inappropriately, and she'd thrown a drink all over him. His collar all soaked as well, through the collar. That's hard to do. As well, the collar soaked through from eating. Yeah? That's fucking hard to do. I can't even do that in the gym. Like, my man's just sat there and sweated through his collar, and he's literally shuddering as well. And then he goes down to the toilet. He doesn't surface for another 20 minutes.
He's throwing it all up, mate.
That shit fucked him.
Throwing it all up because your body's not meant to take it, man.
And for what? A t-shirt and an entry into the Hall of Fame.
A picture on the wall.
Is that what he was eating, the wings?
That's why he was eating the wings.
Nah.
If you crave validation that much, I can understand with you. All right, cool. It's a challenge. You know, you're a celebrity, so people are gonna want you to do these kind of things. He's any guy. He's someone's accountant. You know, he might not even be going to work the next day.
He didn't go to work the next 2 days.
And someone's accountant just fucked up because he just had to fast himself and eat stuff that he shouldn't be eating.
Yeah. Oh, that's annoying.
Okay. I don't understand
these
challenges.
No more challenges. Well, let's get into a quick chat. Track. And then we'll have a chat.
All of your super dead, but they can't see, cause they ain't me. You wanna level higher than what they could see. You the greatest, I ain't even hesitating to say. I'd be dead if you ain't making mistakes, cause I believe in you and me. That's true, you're the star that guides and leads me through. When will you see that I'm the one that loves you, you? For you.
can drivers comprehend?
Cause they can't see that they ain't free.
So can nobody tell me that this path ain't G? Don't let the haters crowd your world, man. Take the time
to listen to your girl, man.
Cause I believe in you and it's true.
You're the star that guides and leads me.
I really like that a lot. That's Play It Up by Georgia Ann Muldrow. And you wouldn't associate that kind of name with that type of track, would you? It's
Georgia
very hard,
Ann.
Isn't it?
It's the beat was
tumps,
tough. And
yeah.
She sounded like Missy Elliott.
She was
Missy Elliott, like a bit Amy Winehouse-y in there too with her voice. And her album's really good. She's from LA.
I'm going to have to check her out.
Very good. Yeah.
One for the playlist, Marcel?
One for the playlist.
Sexy playlist or for the...
I don't know. I don't think it was... I wasn't really getting a very sexual vibe from it.
I was feeling like... Powerful.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of... What playlist? So you got the sexy playlist.
I feel like I'm banging it in the whip. I'm like, I'm driving somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm just getting into the zone.
Yeah,
okay. I'm zoning on that.
Even the beat reminded me of... You know, Missy Elliott in the era.
Missy
Sierra.
Sierra.
No, it reminded me of the era when Missy was releasing songs like Beat Me 911 and I Can't Stand the Rain and stuff like that. But really, really good tune.
Yeah.
Absolutely tumps. We've got our first guest coming in soon.
Very soon.
But I thought there were like very pressing matters that we had to discuss now because something's just come to my attention. I'm sure you're both fans of the music of Michael Jackson.
Obviously.
100%.
Right, who isn't? You know he's still got 28 million listeners a month on Spotify.
I'm not surprised. Like, he's literally made some of the greatest songs
ever made.
Literally.
He did, yeah.
So, you know he wanted to play James Bond at one point?
I would love to hear him doing a British accent.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't even...
Wait, how would he do it though?
Do Michael Jackson doing an English
Michael
accent?
Michael Jackson doing
James
a British
Bond.
Accent. All right.
Layers here.
So you gotta get hey. So you're up there and then it's like. But I see, like, my British accent is quite cockney, and it's like,
yeah. Do Michael Jackson doing your accent?
Just do your accent in falsetto.
Shaken, not stirred, or something. What does he say?
One martini?
One martini, shaken, not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred.
I can see. You can't put a Britishness on that.
You can't.
It's too up there, isn't it?
You have like a
no. You can't. Yeah.
No, but then again, I'm pretty sure there were times when Michael would talk a bit like lower, and it'd be like, hey, I like my martini shaken, not stirred.
That's Michael Jackson,
Sean Connery. That's what I'm saying. I had to put the Sean Connery in.
Please do Miss Moneypenny in that voice.
Miss Moneypenny. Miss Moneypenny.
See, I can't
sound like Herbert the pervert. Family Guy. Miss Moneypenny.
Hey, Chris.
hey boy. Hey. Shake and not stir. Or both if you want.
So anyway, Michael Jackson once tried to convince film bosses that he should be James Bond. He's widely known as the King of Pop, but it seems that Michael Jackson wanted to be a screen icon too as the first black James Bond. According to renowned Hollywood agent Michael Ovitz, the legendary singer once pleaded with film bosses to let him play James Bond in the 1980s. Pleaded.
In the 1980s? So what MJ Bob? Was that?
This
was
is
that
bad, like, isn't it?
Is that bad MJ?
Bad off the wall, kind of.
Who was the Bond then? Was it Roger Moore?
Because
it wasn't
more,
Pierce
yeah.
Brosnan yet.
I don't think
it was.
It wasn't Timothy Dalton yet. That was 90s as well, surely.
So Roger Moore then?
I think it would have been either Roger Moore or Sean Connery.
Okay. I think Sean Connery was 70s.
Before Roger. Yeah, you're right. I think you might be right. We'll find out,
okay,
surely.
We'll find out. Anyway.
So in his new autobiography, Ovitz claims that Jackson once revealed his wish to be the star of an action movie during a meeting at his Los Angeles home. The renowned agent says that he and associate Ron Meyer struggled to take Jackson's stark admission seriously after his iconic black hat fell in a dish of guacamole.
Was he drunk? MJ was just drunk, like, yo,
I got an idea. I'm gonna be James Bond.
And they were like, hold on, is this guy drunk? Like, he just dropped his hat in the guac. I reckon that's a good story. That's a cool story.
He was dancing as he said it, as he got up to show them. He was just doing his little moves.
Practicing for something. I reckon Michael Jackson was always practicing for something. Right. And he was just like, you're not even looking at them, you're just talking. He's looking at his dancing, he's like, you know what? I could be James Bond.
He could do it.
Right, and how big is the bowl of guacamole? That whole hat fell into it. It's a big bowl.
Do you know what?
Big bowl.
It's one of them parties, though, isn't it? They're having one of them mad parties.
He should have asked to be Odd Job, because he probably threw his hat.
Oh.
Okay.
When he said it as well.
Maybe they got confused, and they said, maybe I could be Odd Job.
I want to be that guy from that film, James Bond. He's like, you can't be James Bond.
Nah, man, the guy that done this. And then he threw it, and it landed in the guac, and they were like, see?
Exactly.
Maybe.
I was aiming for the guacamole.
Seemingly unperturbed by the gaffe, Jackson continued with a blob of guacamole sitting on his hat. Ovitz said, then the blob fell off and Ron totally lost it. I cracked up too and Michael stalked out. I found him and explained for 15 minutes that we hadn't been laughing at him. Finally, Michael's face cleared. Okay, Ovitz said. Okay,
no,
he said.
No, how did he say it? That's not Michael Jackson's voice.
Oh, sorry. Finally, Michael's face cleared.
Okay, Ovitz. Okay, he said. But I want to play James Bond. I'm proud to report.
Wait a minute. Oh, right. So then Ovitz says, I'm proud to report I didn't
Imagine
laugh
if he
this
did
time.
It back to him in that voice. Well, I'm not taking a piss, Michael. We're not laughing at you.
I fucked that whole paragraph up. But anyway, after listening to Jackson once more, Ovitz had to let him down gently, admitting that he was thinly built. You're too sensitive. You won't be credible as a brutal block of stone. Well, they hadn't shot the video for... they obviously hadn't shot the video for... what's that song with Chris Tucker in the video?
Rock My World.
Yeah, he fucks up guys in that video.
What do you mean in Moonwalker?
In Bad. Fucks up guys in Smooth Criminal. Fucks up guys. Yeah, Moonwalker especially. Remember the game?
Yeah.
I had that on Mega Drive. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That game was hard.
But then that's another problem when he got in a fight scene and if someone hit him, and even if things weren't funny, he'd still laugh at them.
That could be like that could almost be in a horror film, the calling card of when they're coming to get you, very Freddy Krueger, like hee hee, you don't ever arrive. You're like, it's in the house.
Did you hear that horror film?
And also like a tailor, because you know James Bond always wore these really dapper tailor suits. A tailor would have a nightmare of Michael Jackson. He used to wear suits that were too short for him with white socks. He used to commit fashion faux pas on a regs.
White socks and black loafers.
Black loafers, black trousers, just walking out of the fucking shop.
And you know what? They probably were trying to tailor him, but he couldn't keep still.
They gave up on the material.
So that's why his trousers were too short. They just gave up.
Michael, would you just come here? I need to fix the hem.
Oh God! Right. So would you? Would I have watched James Bond?
I would have watched.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I used to watch Moonwalker on repeat. So if it had like a proper spy storyline to it with MJ doing the thing, I'll be there.
I'd love to have the guac on the hat if he was James Bond. Have guacamole on the hat. That's his whole time.
Yeah, for real.
What a look.
For real. Or be a villain called Guac Hat or something.
Guac Hat.
Yeah.
You know, the villains will kind of sometimes play, like, named after their features.
Guac.
Honestly, I think that maybe depending on when the film Moonwalker came out, that might have been his answer to the
To them saying no.
Yeah, he's like, well, I'll be my own action hero then, and he really was. That's a fucking sick film.
He turned into a robot.
Yeah. James Bond can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. I can confirm that Roger Moore and Timothy Dalton were the 80s Bonds.
Wow.
They were.
How wrong can a person be? I genuinely 79? Thought Timothy Dalton and Pierce Brosnan were both 90s. I know Pierce Brosnan was.
Pierce was the 90s.
And Daniel Craig.
It was all the 90s, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Craig came after Morgan.
Well, let us go to a song and we will get our first guest of the day in.
Yes.
Pure grime in the making. Where I stand, stuff don't work if you're faking. Every day I check phones up for the taking. I'm in the market, wait, back to the basics. I got a blueprint, your man, I can't trace it. Step in the booth, put on a rhythm and I lace it. Your man had a vibe, but then we came and replaced it. Get in the history, they can't erase it. Sounds fresh, I don't man, I outdated. My brother, I know where the dough's at. Looking for the caddy weed, I know where the crow's at. Donnie's try taking the flows, I got the flows back. Man, I getting bangers before, that was the old crack. You wanna see the dark type, and we know that the closest you get to an Eskimo throwback. Hold that, I told him I'm getting the mic, and I was phones in the air, waiting, flashing the lights. I'm an Americas. On the rhythm and a searchers. Man really did the work like migrant workers. On the rhythm and I'm workers. And anywhere I go I clock silent lurkers. On the rhythm and I searchers. Man really did the work like migrant workers. On the rhythm and I'm workers. On the rhythm and I'm workers. Yeah.
Man's know me for murking the rhythm. I vary the beats in any competition. I ain't ready to squeeze at any proposition. Show me the peas, I'll show you the kitchen. And start flipping from outside vippings. Who would have thought I would have grown up ripping these rhythms. Spitting and skipping. MCs get caught kipping and slipping. I got blood pools for MCs dipping. Don't come around a gangster like chicken. Boys in the hood might hold him and strip. Him. Then they're gonna want dons to get what's missing. I'm kicking ass, ain't no ass licking. For too long, man, I've been talking wicked. And when the wicked man them come, they kick it. Cause they don't wanna go lyrics for lyrics. When you know, man, America's don't know, man, I earned this. Come and really do the work like migrant workers. On the rhythm and a service. And if you try a thing, man, I get him rant on purpose. On the rhythm and America's come and really do the work like migrant workers. On the rhythm and America's. On the rhythm and America's.
Back up in a place with a fight for them. If I can hit a jackpot, I try it again. I would've string up a sound off wise again. I get a song mailed out by Iron for them. I like critics, they make me work. They fake at work. Hate, I've earned the right to paint the earth in grand colours. I help my brothers, I help my sisters. Balling out, forget about Christmas.
All I really know is when I hit them with a flow, man, I didn't have a show, so they didn't wanna hear. I was telling man I'm gonna blow, but they didn't wanna know. Now tell me why would I wanna care? I'll be on the move, I ain't gonna lose. I'll be on the go, so don't you try stepping them away. I said it's too many men on a gas ting, but me, I'll be in the booth with beer, pepper spray, clap, clap, man, America's.
On the rhythm and a searchers, man, really did the work like migrant workers. On the rhythm and a murkers, and anywhere I go, I clock silent lurkers.
On the rhythm and a murkers, come and really do the work like migrant workers. On the rhythm and a murkers, on the rhythm and a murkers.
It's FUBAR Radio, that's Murkers, Wiley and OG Roots. We got our first guest of the show, of the day in today, this Halloween 2018. We actually had a bet on, well, we didn't take a bet this time, did we?
No.
On how late our first guest could be.
17 minutes.
I wasn't really late.
We'll give you a chance to explain. We'll just introduce you first. Our first guest is AP, aka A Problem.
What's happening?
What's going on?
What are you not telling me?
Okay, so lateness.
I wasn't late, man.
What happened?
I was on time, realistically. Where I was coming from, coming from Walthamstow.
Yeah,
so when
yeah.
I came,
not far.
Yeah, it's not far. So the right turning to turn into you guys North Road is locked off.
Oh,
so I'm Caledonian.
I had to go all the way down, turn around. And then when I was coming back, I turned in and I was looking for parking.
Yeah.
So I looked on the side now and it says 4:30.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, obviously I want to do a radio team.
Yeah, now you did the right thing.
I'm not trying to get a ticket.
I got to give you, because remember we had Sharky Major in, and the first thing that happened to Sharky Major, the first ever time he was a guest on this show, he got like an £80 parking fine. See, so
you know what, man, on the way here, the reason why I even left late, because I'd just come from paying a Dartford charge.
Okay.
So imagine I've just paid the Dartford charge and then for like £200.
Yeah.
And then what, I'm going to come in and get...
You know, it's really quick on the tube though, I have to say, from Walthamstow.
That's a good point. Piccadilly like Line, that's
minutes.
You.
15 minutes on the tube. No parking fines.
I'm not really a TM film person.
Yeah, for real.
Okay. Yeah, nah,
I can understand that as well.
I'm saying, I'm not, yeah.
But I must say, like, I get down there at like about 5 to 4 or 10 to 4 every time I do the show.
Mm.
And I literally run up the stairs and I forget to do that half an hour of parking that you need to do.
Oh, yeah. Seeing.
And I've never got a ticket yet.
Okay.
Ticket don't yet, so jinx it, Marcel, by saying
don't
that.
Don't jinx it, for real.
Do you know what?
There's no wood.
The woman at the reception said to me, I said, what, is it all right? Because I was here like before. She was like, I said, what, do you think they'll come in like half an hour? She was like, well, they're actually pretty on point, so I wouldn't really take the risk.
Yeah,
well,
no, they are. I see them all the time.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them outside.
I do see them.
Well,
this is definitely their turf.
Yeah.
I think this is the only road they do, to be fair. I think they just walk up and down.
I think there's so many on this road, they don't need their days done once they finish this road. Yeah, there's true, enough people.
Honestly. But let's get on to music, because that is the reason you're here, man. 18 years old and a pro protege of the Heavy Trackers, who are friends of mine and friends of the show as well.
Yeah, definitely.
How did they kind of pick you out? How did they notice you?
From the same area, Walthamstow.
Yep.
And obviously, like that, the youngest that was on the ends anyway was obviously everyone was doing what they was doing, and obviously I was kind of the only one spitting, so it was kind of like the light was kind of getting shown on me, like, rah, who's this APU? Like, everyone's talking about him. He's 15, he's bare hench and that, like, but no one's ever seen him, like, type of thing. And then obviously Big Tobes was recording at their studio.
Of course.
Then I think one day I went to go meet him, and obviously I walked in the studio, and then I was doing sessions with one of the trackers lot. And then obviously, Tank and Ted kind of like heard some of my stuff because it was on there.
Of course.
It was on their files. And then it was like, yo, this kid's cold. And then from there, like, I kind of just started doing everything with them.
Yeah. I like the Heavy Trackers because they are very good at A&Ring as well.
Yeah.
You know, their album proves that as well. You know, they got some, they've managed to, like, I'm on a song on that album with Tom Walker.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just very good at pairing up
people
for collaborations, and also just get sort of focusing on new talent as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So are they producing a lot of your stuff? Have you got a production kind of agreement in place with them? Are we going to see like maybe a Heavy Trackers produced AP album or mixtape?
I mean, majority of the stuff is it is produced by Heavy Trackers, but obviously as well as me, they've got other people that they're kind of dealing with.
Of course.
So I don't really limit myself to be like, oh, I'm not really going to make a track unless it's produced by Heavy Trackers.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
So majority of the stuff you will see produced by Heavy Trackers. Mm. But, like, if it's not, then it's just by someone else.
Yeah,
just sent me a beat, to be honest,
And you've done a lot of, you know, pretty high-profile collaborations anyway. You've worked with Ambush. And you've worked with Big Tobes as well, right?
Yeah.
Also Cadet as well. So there's obviously some very well-respected and talented MCs kind of showing you love. And again, you're at a very young age, so it must be kind of nice. What does being AP involve? Is it a lot of studio at the moment? Are you doing a lot of live shows?
I mean, right now I'm just working on material to make me stick once I'm in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because I've seen a lot of people come in the game, like one tune up, and then you got bare pressure for the next one.
and then it don't drop.
It don't drop. You're all scrambling to make, or you make a thing, you think it's kind of lit, but it's not lit like that.
Mm.
You think it's hard, you drop it, and it's like, I don't really know. And then every tune from there just kind of goes, like, I don't want a career that's going like that. I want one that's peaking 24/7. Right now, like, I kind of bought all the equipment to have myself a home studio.
Nice.
I'm just basically working on the sound, innit, so that when we do attack, like, my next one, I've got things to just make it continue peaking.
Yeah.
Because everything before, like everything that comes next is always, it just has to be better than the next one.
Of course. 100%. And are you producing stuff yourself as well?
No, I'm going to learn to, though. Yeah. I think that's one thing I want to do. The two things I want to learn how to do right now is mix by myself, mm-hmm. mix and master by myself, and then produce, only because, like, you know what I'm saying, like trackers are busy, like,
yeah not really, and sometimes you just wake up with an idea and you just want to lay down. It's so different for you know, young people now. When I first started making music, you had to hire a studio or have a brethren with the equipment, and that was rare. I had one brethren with studio equipment. I have all the people I knew in music, but more time, £20 an hour, £15 an hour for some guy that doesn't give a shit about your music.
And that's the thing, for you to be investing in that now, that's just you building, because like you'll get your equipment in, but then as you make more money and you do your thing, you'll be investing more into what you're building your studio up.
That's the way to do it, man. And it is very symptomatic what you were saying about artists kind of having this one tune that bangs and then not knowing what to do.
After that, it's dead. Like, what they do is, like, I've seen it. Like, even some of my, it's mad because some of the artists that I'm talking about are my friends, like, friends or
of
people
course,
that I've
yeah,
met
we,
through
we,
the industry. Like,
yeah, we don't necessarily have to mention names, but we all know what it is. Yeah, it's like, simple as that.
So it's just to see that, it's just like, no, that can't be me. Do you know what I'm saying? It can't be me, especially like with my name. They can't.
I think there's nothing wrong with looking at even your brethrens I would do it a different way. I think there's nothing wrong with that. Like people, I think there's people automatically want to put anyone that would admit that they wouldn't do something that way as a hater as well. Necessarily wish the person any ill or anything, you just know that ain't it.
Yeah, it's not.
As far as you're concerned,
we can see it, they can see it. Whether they admit it to themselves or not is another story.
Yeah,
but it is what it is.
For real. So you got the new tune out at the moment. Instagram.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. Tell us about the thinking behind that concept.
Oh, it's pretty simple, to be honest. Obviously, I went through some things, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. This individual. So you know what I'm saying. Certain man text her and that, and they don't really know her, but I know her, so I know her like the back of my hand. It's pretty much it, to be honest.
Fair play. Well, let's get into it. Would you do us the honour of introducing it for us, and then we'll have a little chat after?
All right. You guys are about to listen to A Problem featuring Burner and Dan's Instagram, produced by Ivy Trackers. Let's go.
I remember that very first time when I see her in the flesh and Dan said press it. You know I wasn't trying to get in my feels. If I sense love on my mum's, I'll exit. And all of them man said they know her. When all they do is send her some texts. You know me, I'm finna shoot my shot. So how she gonna pee her checklist? You know me, I love a short one, thicky. Just polo coming like Nicky. And if I don't send her a text in the morning and night, then the combo's sticky. And I never wanna look in that. I wanna give her this. Cause my love for crazy Latinas. It ain't just that's licky. See, I like her pics, but I never hit the follow button. Pink be the colour of a Nyx, and her thongs, they're made of cotton. For you, she ain't on piss, but for me, she gon' do backflips. I'm talking about 442, every search come with a new tactic. I know her like the back of my hand, not just from Instagram. I know her like the back of my hand, not just from Instagram. I know her like the back of my hand, not just from Instagram. I know her like the back of my hand.
Yeah, says she wants me, nothing more, nothing less. Nah. I can never make that mine. If Lizzie finds out, it's stress. Broski there, got a You don't wanna make you vex. I can make a girl your ex, bro. If I just send this text, girl just wanna grab burner. She ain't never held no tech. Caution, cause the kickback's crazy. This one might hurt your chest. France ting won't come to the London. Only thing here is pouch and spinners. Have you ever seen the Wild Wild West?
She like her pics, but I never hit the follow button. Pink be the colour of a Nyx, and her thongs they're made of cotton. For you she ain't on piss, but for me she gon' do backflips. I'm talking about 442, every search come with a new tactic. I know her like the back of my hand, not just from Instagram. I know her like the back of my hand, not just from Instagram. I know her like the back of my hand, not just from Instagram. I know her like the back of my hand.
Should've seen a weird shorty put her racks in. Says she on badness.
any madness. Me and A just ski if it ain't adapting. Rap got your girlfriend doing mad things. Done told them I don't need practice. That group dead, bring a new batch in. Feelings dashing, not catching. Man, I blow that ghost and then catch it. Man, look down at and they say that I'm huge cause I don't snap them. If it's for the GC then I might snap it. L's in OT putting that shift in. Mish on the wing, I really miss him. Bad B, just kids. Evil chief, she gon' kiss him.
See, I like her pics, but I never hit the follow button. Pink be the colour of a Nyx, and the thongs they made of cotton. For you she ain't on piss, but for me she gon' do backflips. I'm talking about 442, every search come with a new tactic. I know I like the back of my hand.
A problem
vibes
by a problem. It's a big tune, yeah, still. That's Instagram by our guest A Problem featuring Burner and DNZ, or is it DNZ?
Yeah, DN. Well, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, like, I know, yeah. Some people are very particular about how you pronounce the Z or the Z. I should say Z because I'm British, I'm not American. Duns.
I'm so dumb. Realistically, it's Dans.
Oh, Dans, okay. Dans, okay.
Man. Yeah.
Okay. That makes. Well, it doesn't actually, because there's no A in it. I was going to say that makes more sense. But
yeah, man. That's Big Toby's little brother, actually.
Oh, for real.
Yeah, yeah.
For real.
Dans, yeah. Fair.
Okay, so they're definitely. So you're kind of keeping it in the family, where you've worked with both brothers as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Fair play.
That way.
What are you listening to at the moment? Who's impressing you? Because you're clearly a lyricist. I like the it's a very kind of calm, laid back production.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you've got the kind of drill flow on it as well.
It's
nice.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's a good little juxtaposition. So yeah, who's inspiring you at the moment lyrically? Or just creatively in general?
Yeah, no, I'll say creatively, not necessarily lyrically, because
there aren't many.
I got different things to talk about than the people I listen to be honest. Because the people I listen to are talking about, I might buy a girl Chanel bags and that. Like, I'm not going to buy a girl Chanel bags. You know? I'm not going to do that, bro. Like, even if I had the peas to, I'm not going to do that, bro.
Why? What if she really wants a Chanel bag?
It's not my girl. Why am I buying a Chanel bag?
True. Mm-hmm.
Like, guys are saying... Guys
if he says, I'll buy your girl, you'll get a Chanel bag. That don't matter.
Guys,
you got to listen to the whole sentence.
Yeah,
now.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll buy your girl
a Chanel bag.
Okay. I'll buy my girl a Chanel bag. Yeah. I'll buy your girl a Chanel bag.
And even for me to buy my girl a Chanel bag, I've got to see what you've done first, like.
Yeah,
do you get what I'm saying?
It's so be committed relationship.
Yeah, for real. She's got to pass the driving test.
Yeah, like them things there. Like, she's got her. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so artists I'm listening to right now is Roddy Ricch from America.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of Lil Baby and a bit of Gunna.
Mm-hmm.
UK wise, I think just Ambush at the moment.
Yeah, I like Ambush.
Ambush, obviously that's bro. But even before that, as an artist, like. Do you know what I'm saying? I just like what he's doing because he's so original. Like, he doesn't sound like anyone, and he just has fun when he's making his tunes, innit? Like, you can feel it just listening to it. You don't
Absolutely.
Even need to see a visual. So.
He's a vibes man.
Yeah, like,
he's definitely a vibes man. He reminds me of the people that first started MC because of vibes.
Yeah.
You know, I think he could cross over.
Yeah,
think he could cross
he
over
could,
to the States.
He, you know, what is it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah no, he
no,
definitely
no,
can.
Not do like EDM or something.
No, no, no.
I'm not with that, mate.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah, sorry. What I meant, cross over the Atlantic.
No, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Break it down.
We would like to hear his country album. Though.
I would like to hear him on Hot 106.2 when I'm in a taxi on the way home.
One day.
I would like to hear that.
Yeah.
No, I'm only playing. No.
Yeah, no.
Over the Atlantic for sure. I think it translates well.
Because right now he's in when you look at the UK scene anyway, he's someone that's making a lot of noise right now. So I feel like the more he keeps making noise, obviously. Like the US lot always do that. They just look who's making the most noise, to be honest.
Mm.
And then from there, it's just like raw. And then obviously, his lingo in his songs as well. Like that's what a lot of Americans like to catch on to. So and he uses it a lot in his choruses.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In his like even Sweet One and that, like Americans.
That's an ad lib, everyone.
Yeah, Americans are gonna turn around and be like, "What's Sweet One? Yeah. Like, what's he talking
about?" It's true.
And then before you know it, he's doing tunes with someone. Yeah.
This is true. It's become a phrase in itself. I just sometimes I randomly just tweet just sweet one.
Sweet One.
Like, you know? And people are like, what the fuck does that mean?
Some people don't even know where they've got it from. Mm. And it's just like Sweet One.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got it
from Ambush, yeah.
You have to you gotta get the chef's kiss. Sweet One. I love that. I love that guy. He is brilliant. He's brilliant. So what's next for a problem? Project wise, what can we expect next?
I'm trying as hard as I can to drop an EP by the end of the year. But I think the only thing that's really kind of getting to me at the moment in terms of the whole EP thing is that, like, I keep getting better.
Yeah. Oh, right. So you don't know how many you want to put more tracks songs, than you originally thought you would.
Even like some of the songs that I had the EP.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was fire, and it was
I had the EP. I had it set for last year. I had it, and I was like, yeah, this is the track list. This is how many songs we're gonna have on it, and then drastically, like I just started getting better. Do you know what I'm saying?
I love that confidence
with every song.
Yeah.
If I go when I go home today. I'm going home. Obviously, I got my studio in my room. I'm going to make something and it's going to make me think, shit, oh, I got better again. Because so that's literally what happens every single day. Like, thanks to my witness. That's what happens every single day. I send him at least a tune every single day and it's like, raw, shit, I got better.
Or, would you look at that?
Yeah, like, I got a new sound or I got a new flow and it's just like, raw, like, I'm making all this music. Like, and it's not just jumping about music. Like some of it's things I never even saw myself doing, like songs with actual meaning from start to finish. And it's real. It's not like I'm just saying, oh yeah, I went Libs yesterday and I spent $5 on Rare Tear Tear. No, like it's like raw. Like when you're listening to the song, even though you're like waving your head or whatever, it's like raw. If you deep what you just said, that's mad, you know? Like, do you know what I'm saying? So I want that on my EP because I want every song to be like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of the old songs that I've done was just for the scene, just to make the scene happy. You know what I'm saying? Like it was just to make people jump up and down. Like, but with the stuff I do have now, because I got the ability to make 6 songs that make people jump up and down, but they got meaning.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
fair play. I like to visualize when people are talking, and when you were talking about, like, you know, getting better and sending people the tune, it kind of gave me that visual of, you know, like NASA, when someone like lands on the planet and the whole place just goes, he's done it, he's got better. Just papers getting thrown up in the air and shit. Thank you so much for joining us, man. It was really, really interesting chatting to you. Before you go, let people know where they can find you on the socials and give people a quick rundown of what they can expect like live-wise, if you've got any gigs coming up or anything.
I've got one small gig on, I think it's the 31st in Gants Hill.
Cool.
For my socials, it's the same on everything. So literally Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, and wherever it is, someone's made a fake account of me of a problem with 2 M's on the end. And yeah, that's it, man.
Fair play, man. No, like I said, man, like you're sick. Very talented individual.
The energy's there, bro.
Absolutely. We'll keep supporting. Just keep playing us with new music.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And we'll see you soon. It's a problem.
100%. Thanks, bro.
That's King of the Hill by Thundercat featuring Bad Bad Not Good and Flying Lotus coming through your speakers from FUBAR Radio.
That was smooth.
That was very smooth.
I said that name of all the artists quite quickly, and Marcel thought I was talking about one person.
Yeah,
was like, was
Marcel
that one
thought the
Thundercat,
artist was called
Bad,
Thundercat.
Bad, not good, Flying Lotus.
Bad Bad No Good Flying Lotus. I was like, yo, that sounds like one of them Kung Fu films, man. Jeez.
Marcel, you're back, which means it's time for...
Dr. Marcel will see you now.
All right.
I definitely will see you now.
Okay. So a couple of weeks ago when we put out the video, I put a video on Monday actually asking for what people should wear on a first date or not wear on a first date.
Yes.
And they came through with you some tips.
They did. I've actually got six tips here. So let's get into these tips.
Sure.
We've got one from Rachel72 Hayden. Defo him, clean, sexy underwear. Me, no panties.
Ooh, Rachel.
Okay, so that's very...
Wow, okay.
First date, she wants to see the boxers, so you need to make... No, do you know what? Like, I will say this now. If I, like, whenever I go on a date, I do make sure I've got a decent pair of boxer shorts.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse, because, like...
What do you mean by decent, clean?
Nah, man. Like, all my boxer shorts are clean.
Okay, I'm talking good.
Like, I'm talking about, like, designer. A sexy pair of designer boxer shorts. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, if things heat up and you get back to the flat or the house, whatever it is, you rip your top off and you got like a nice pair of Calvins or a Imperio Armani's.
Okay.
If you got the Armani's, you're like, yo.
You got some Armani's, Michael?
Panani.
You got some Armani?
No, you know Armani's, what they say in the toilets? No Armani, no Panani.
Exactly, exactly.
Is that what's on the walls in the men's toilet?
No, it's what the attendant says to you. No spray, no lay, no Armani, no Panani.
Wow, come okay. On. Well, that's what, okay.
Don't they do that in the girls' toilets?
No, they've never said that. What do you think about the no panty rule for Rachel, for the lady, on a date?
I don't think it should be a rule. I just want to say that. I definitely don't think it should be a rule. I think do what you feel comfortable with.
Exactly. Okay. I feel like girls, if that's what you're looking for after the date, then like, obviously it's fair game. But I'd say you can wear some nice sexy lingerie.
This is true.
Would you prefer? What if you were on the date and the lady just said, "By the way, I'm wearing no panties."
I'd be like, okay.
Like, it's knickers, love. We're in England.
Yeah, okay.
But knickers sounds a bit...
big granny panty.
I'm not wearing any knickers. It's like, okay, I'm going to go home then.
Yes. Okay, no. Well, that's good. Right, let's move on to the next one.
Number two from Lily McNew. Boys, all Hugo Boss looking fresh and all and that.
Did you say Hugo Boss? Is that a knockoff?
He's the designer doing a collaboration
in the market,
with a drill. With a
fucking... I went down Dagger the Market, got a nice Boss. Got some Hugo Boss.
Designer power tools. Hugo Boss.
Hugo Boss. All right,
that's
now,
nice.
So anyway.
Hugo Boss.
No. See, I turned into like Sean Connery again.
Hugo Boss.
Bosch.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Sorry, I'm opening a
sweet.
That's what that
all
noise
Hugo
is.
Boss. Looking fresh in that.
Okay, is that good? What do you think about that?
I don't mind Hugo Boss.
Did you know
he
used
boxes.
To make the Nazi uniforms?
Oh, well, I'm not really a fan of Hugo Boss personally. just saying. Lily, there you've learnt something there.
Lily's retracting that as we speak.
Maybe.
No, wear Bosch. Wear Hugo Boss.
Just Bosch.
Wear Hugo Boss.
Yeah.
Dagger the Market, they are totally legit. Yeah. Probably made by a guy from Dagenham.
Yep. But he weren't a Nazi.
Exactly. Let's stay clear of the Nazis.
Let's move on to the next one.
All right. So Instakels, shoes, and shoes and teeth do it for me. I thought she just said shoes, like as if she's been on dates with guys who don't wear shoes.
She set the bar low, innit? Like, from now on,
just wear shoes.
My dates have to wear shoes.
All right. No. So basically,
and he must have some teeth.
So basically, she said, shoes and teeth do it for me. If they're nice. Then brand names don't even come into it.
She's on the fair play.
I like you, Instagirls.
Yeah. Mm. Good tip. Okay, next.
All right, so next up we've got Annalisa Beth Jones. Hey, hon. Well, for me, wearing black clothes on a guy for a date is a big turn-on.
Now, I know why she said that, because
Batman.
In the video, and I saw her, you were wearing some black clothes. So I think she was a little
alluding
bit like, that was
you.
A little tip of the hat to you there, Marcel. Aha.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you do wear a lot of black, don't you?
Yeah, you're wearing black now.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I went for a stage when my whole wardrobe was literally black. I had like 45 black t-shirts. Yeah. Mm. I was like Simon Cowell. Like, I had 45 black t-shirts, black jumpers, black coats. All of my trainers were black. My jeans were black. I had one pair of blue jeans that I wore occasionally.
Yeah, with for a special black occasions. T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Bust out blue jeans. Like, a big night.
I don't even know why. I think I was just like a massive Batman fan.
No, black looks
fan.
Classy. Yeah, no, that's it does. The thing. Anything in black just makes it look sophisticated.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I feel like you can wear like a black t-shirt and black jeans and put on a pair of shoes and you can be smart.
100%.
Yeah. When you wear a black t-shirt, on. Black jeans and some trainers, yeah. You're like, I'm casual.
Absolutely. You couldn't do that with a white t-shirt and white jeans. Exactly. You look too confident.
No,
if someone
shoes.
Turns up on a first date in all white, run a mile. That's a fucking red flag.
I think they're a ghost.
I think they're Diddy. Yeah.
They're
I think
psycho.
They're P. Diddy in the fucking I'll Be Missing You video. That's what the fuck they are.
Trust me.
You'd be like, are you Natalie?
You should, no one should have P. Diddy's confidence. No. You should not be turning up.
No.
Or rather, yeah, absolutely. Annalise Beth Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. Good memory.
Memory.
There. Thank you. Has got a very good point. Yeah. All okay. Black's good. Very all right. Sophisticated.
Okay, let's move on to next one.
All right, so next we've got Dan the Man. Nothing too colourful. Got to see them eyes.
Okay, so
nothing too colourful. Okay,
so dark clothing.
Got
fine.
To see them eyes.
So I think maybe Dan has got nice
Sorry,
eyes.
Does bright colours mean that you can't see eyes?
I think Dan's got a so short obscure. Attention span.
How does that
when
work?
Trying to look in your eyes, Ken. But I'm stop focusing on your yellow t-shirt.
It's too brown.
No, colour my eyes if you really care about me. No.
So I think obviously, like, if you maybe got a feature, if your eyes are a feature,
sure,
maybe don't wear anything that's gonna attract away from those things, because you want them to look in your eyes and be like, oh my god, her eyes are amazing.
Yeah, true, but you kind of want them to be able to just do that anyway.
You don't want them just looking into your eyes. That would be borderline creepy for the whole night. Like, can you just stop staring into my eyes? Just blink once.
But then again, on a date, eye contact is always good. If you can't look someone in the eye, if you're eating dinner or whatever it is, or having a drink and you're like this, yeah, so are you having a great time?
Yeah,
they're going to
be
like, what's wrong with this person?
Yeah, okay, true.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
All right, that's our final
and then
one.
The final one from Juicy Lucy. Oh, never wear anything you've worn on a night out. Might still have sick stains.
Well, she's very juicy.
Okay, Juicy Lucy. All right, so Lucy's obviously been out on a couple nights out.
Spent too much money on nights out and didn't buy a washing machine.
Right. Yep.
You might still have
clothes
sick
still
on your
got
clothes.
Six stains on them.
The fuck?
The fuck?
Yeah, if someone turns up to meet you with six stains on their clothes, I don't care how nice they are, you're going home.
Yeah, no, like,
you can't
like
have
just right on the collar there.
Oh,
sorry, like, I went out last weekend. What, you didn't wash your top?
All right. Even no panties isn't going to save you on
Imagine
that.
Imagine that, no panties, but six stains on your clothes. That's going to be a hell of a look for a night.
Damn.
Okay, well, that's good advice from everyone. So what we want to know next week, and we were going to, as always, record a video after the show, which will go up on our Instagram on Monday. What do we want to know next week, Marcel?
What we want to know next week are your best chat-up lines.
Ooh, I'm excited to find out.
I
want
to
hear both of yours as well. Well,
I don't have one. I can tell you that from
now. I don't have one.
We ain't
got to
wait till next
week.
You've
got loads.
Ah, see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, you've got plenty, Marcel. I know you are.
No, do you know what? I actually don't use chat lines. I'm more of a kind of person who uses their eyes.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
I send signals. It's like a love connection through our minds.
Love connection. Sounds like a garage rave.
Love connection.
A Valentine's Day garage rave.
Dr. Marcel's love connection. Charlie Brown's roundabout. No long ting. Dun,
dun. Oh my god, let's do a raise on a roundabout.
Security tight, but polite.
No shoes, no trainers.
No more pants, on no the panties. Door. No ladies panties. Free, gents £20.
I just realised I said no shoes, no trainers, so the barefoot person can definitely roll through.
No teeth.
Ladies free with no panties.
Yeah,
that's
for real.
It, right?
No six stains allowed.
Let's go to a song and then we'll get our next guest in, okay?
All right.
Taste of you.
You have to do that when you finish listening to that song, don't you?
Yeah, because you're so happy that you've heard 3 minutes and 25 seconds of Sunshine.
That might have been the happiest song I've ever heard in my fucking life.
I don't know. I feel like happy, but I feel we're slightly happier.
That's
your
true.
Your voice is not reflecting you. I feel really happy. It's quite serial killer.
It was intense.
Very intense.
I was just trying to get an alternative.
Yeah.
You know,
like Captain, what's his name from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Oh, hold on.
Can't you tell how happy I am? I'm ecstatic. we have our but before we kind of get into this next chat, that was Alan Stone featuring Jamie Liddell, "Taste of You." I didn't really get a massive chance to listen to all the lyrics, but it's not about going down on people, is it? That song.
It might be. Actually.
It's happily going down on people.
Anything Jamie Liddell does, he's happy with. So even if he's doing that, he's happy.
Well, maybe especially if he's doing that.
I feel like
most
people are happy when they're doing it now.
Yeah, that's true. Or they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
Yeah. It'd be really awful.
I hate this. This is hell.
Get your hand off my head.
Oh, imagine being down there and doing that voice and that creepy.
Get off me.
Oh, no.
Just get off.
Okay. On that note, we've got our second guest in the room right now, sitting right next to who I call the reality star god. It is, of course, Dan Masaku. Have I pronounced it right?
You got it.
Ah, there you go. It's Dan Masaku from The Circle. Right. So I used to hate the concept of reality TV, I'll be brutally honest with you.
Same.
And it was actually Love Island.
Thank you.
Marcel's season that kind of got me into it, right?
Yeah.
Into the whole concept of, you know, voyeurism. But I wouldn't, though, class The Circle as reality TV. It was... Well, actually, I would, obviously, but it seems like so much more of just a social experiment than anything else.
That was what was described to me. Do you know what I mean? Which is why it appealed to me so much.
It seems so much more credibly a social experiment because it's based on a thing that is such a double-edged sword and such a massive part of people's lives, you know, which is not obviously no disrespect to any of the reality shows, but not all of us are going to get the opportunity to live on an island with fit people and, you know what I mean, like have a swimming pool and stuff.
Not that lucky, but
99% of us are going to interact on social media at some point, right?
Yeah.
So they brought you guys all together to kind of to see how it worked when everyone was in really close quarters, right?
Yeah. It was kind of the concept of the fact that we don't get to meet each other as well.
I say close quarters, but only through the fact that you live in the same
exactly.
block.
Exactly. And like you say, the appeal of the show, I think, is the fact that everyone does use social media. Everyone is probably guilty of fabricating some part of their life, whether that's slapping a filter on a picture, whether that's, I don't know, posting pictures from holiday saying that you're still on holiday. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
he's been on holiday for 4 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's been in that same spot every day.
Or even like the captions or whatever, we're all guilty of perhaps being a little bit, I don't know, not necessarily fully truthful.
We embellish.
We embellish the facts. And I think that's what appealed to most people about this particular show. It was interesting to see what people would embellish, if anything at all.
Yeah. And you actually got caught out by a catfish.
A couple times, G.
What? Right. Okay, so tell us about that, because the thing is, I should go back and watch this show. But you know them ones where you
missed it.
That's it. You hear about something halfway through and it's like Game of Thrones. It's too late. It's like trying drugs.
It's never too late, bro. It's never too late for the Thrones.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, bro, you got to do it.
But I want to give The Circle a try first. Game of Thrones will take a little bit longer, I think. But so you were catfished, and like that obviously must have affected you.
Do you know what I think people perhaps maybe don't fully understand or appreciate about the show is you are in isolation, and despite the fact that there's producers that come in and whatnot and talk to you and stuff, as I'm sure is similar with Love Island, you don't know these people. They're not your brethren. They're not your friends. Yeah. Like, everyone that you've met from the point of the show starting are people are new people. So they're new relationships, and despite the fact that those relationships may form, they are still new people to you. You don't really fully know them. So when you get to the point where you find out that you've been lied to, it's gonna hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I suppose the whole situation of the show is actually you trusting these people based on face value, ain't it? Based on them saying, I'm this person, thing, and then if you do kind of like form like a kind of like rapport with someone, you're gonna think, oh, like I'm actually getting along with this person. There's something there, but
I just find it quite strange. I don't know if you're have you remained friends with anyone from the show?
Very good friends with Alex, the catfisher. You're very good.
Right. This is the thing. So Dan, who catfished you?
That's Dan.
Alex. Sorry, it's not my bad. I'm an idiot. Sorry. Alex.
Alex Hoban.
Alex Hoban, who went on to win the £75 booty. Used his girlfriend's profile to catfish you. I don't get that.
Sticky.
That's mad.
Sticky
so basically,
one still.
Still. She's blessed as well. She's a lovely, lovely girl.
Yeah, it didn't use her name though, did it? Her name's Millie.
Millie. He used Kate.
Right.
Okay, but her face nonetheless.
Her face, which is mad because I even saw her as recent as yesterday. It's still a little bit.
Did you want to go up to her and be like, "Yo, Kate," and then be like, "No, you're not Kate."
The first time I met her was at the live show.
Right.
I don't know if the cameras were on or were they off. They probably were on, but it was just mad. Like, the live show was just completely overwhelming for me, completely, and I was very nervous. And when I watched that back, and the way I behave is extremely strange. Everyone else that comes on, they greet everyone, they like, clap into the crowd and like they kiss the judges and everything. I'll just walk straight past. I didn't look at no one, I just walked in, sat down in my chair. That was me. I'm just not the way you behave. But I was just so used to being in that box and I just didn't deal with that instant live cameras everywhere, crowd, people shouting.
And you found this out, and I guess you don't know what's real and what isn't real. So you're in a bit kind of disorientated and like, I don't know what
even
to
after
do.
I came out, it was like everyone was telling me, including producers and all the rest of it, Alex is a lovely person, da 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 da. All I know is this guy's been lying to me for 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's snatched.
I love how people can still say he's a lovely person. He's not usually like this. It's like, what, mate? It's like when that guy on Ryanair that abused that woman, calling her an ugly black bastard or something. Oh, but he's not racist, though.
What do you mean he's not? That vexed me. I can't even, let's not even get
can
into
I
that.
Can I just clarify? Alex is genuinely a lovely person, but I had to figure that out for myself.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that someone else is nice when they've been lying to me for 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's your actions that kind of determine the person you should be perceived as.
Exactly.
A person who's known something that that hasn't done which I think is a pretty heinous fucking thing
and
to do.
Also, it's almost like he semi-targeted you because he thought, he's probably gonna fancy my girl if I drop a couple bars.
But it's the fact that he put his girl
like
that.
It's like a weird swingers thing.
Using your girl as bait. You might as well have just been
like
fishing.
A honey trap.
Yeah, he fully just used his missus as bait, and I don't know how is their relationship.
No, it's
now.
Fine. He got permission from her. He asked.
Oh
her,
my god, they were both in on it.
Wanted to wait, how much did you win at the end of it?
Oh, he won a lot.
Basically
75 bags.
75 bags.
We didn't know that. Can we just clarify? We didn't know there was 75 bags.
Right.
Okay. We went in knowing there was 50 bags. But at the live final it gets announced, and that's the first time we heard about 25 bags.
Oh shit.
In the live final it gets announced that there's another 25 bags that the public have been voting on for someone else to receive.
Okay.
Oh.
My man won both.
Oh mate, yeah. So like that was like couples. They done a couples thing. Yeah. They were like, yo, babe, just use my picture. They're gonna win this.
It was actually Millie's suggestion. It was Millie's suggestion.
Oh wow,
the girlfriend's suggestion.
Yeah. Do you know what's gonna come out? What's it called? What's that film with Will Smith and what's her name? Margot Robbie.
Focus.
Focus. You just got hit with a sequel. You've just basically been in the sequel of that film, I reckon, because that is just such an intricate. And like plan to kind of.
I can't even remember that film. I've seen it.
It's where they're con artists and they. Do you remember that?
But do you know what though?
Sounds like the sequel for that.
In all honesty, you can kind of understand why the people at home would have been voting for them because they are working the most brain on.
Yeah, that's true.
On the show, they were making it very entertaining.
It's what the show is about, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? When it comes down to it.
And the awkward meeting when I meet Alex for the first time, I'm very angry.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded when Sian comes in, she sits down, she goes, oh, it's a game though. And I instantly snap out out of my anger mode. And I'm like, shit, it's a game, you know. Like I weren't playing the game.
You was all in it to win it because even from Love Island, it didn't turn into a game until you got to the final week.
That's what I'm saying.
And when you get to the final week, you start seeing people start acting different, doing different things, not talking to certain people, like. Ah, okay.
I remember
now.
You know
what I mean? You get what it is, but I suppose when you're all in isolation and all it is is messages and all that kind of thing, you're by yourself, innit? So you come out of it and you still think, I'm by myself. So this person's targeted me, but do you know what I mean? It's
a game. You know what I mean? It's a game. You have to have a strategy.
Yeah,
and
as soon as she said that, it was
like, oh, yeah.
I instantly couldn't be angry anymore because I was like, oh, it wasn't malicious. He's playing the game, which I should be playing. I just.
Say say someone falls in love or something. You know the way that because it's like people are just on Instagram on a normal day or on social media are falling in love with what is possibly a catfish all the time. Like, and just imagine it's intensified by the fact that you're on your Jack Jones. You're
and we
alone
spoken every day for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mad.
And the thing about it is like the fact that you and Alex are actually tight afterwards is probably because you were chatting for like those 3 weeks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you've kind of still got that thing there, even though you know.
And none of it exists now.
Exactly.
It's tricky, isn't it? But I mean, Alex is a very, very nice person, and he felt so bad. He's not the sort of person who would deceive someone under any other circumstances. It was a
unless
game.
It was for 75 grand. Yes,
fair. Exactly. we're not doing it for that, but you know.
It's the name of the game, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the name of the game.
I'm a good guy, but I got a price.
Yeah. Hey, I think everyone's got a price. Yeah, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I'm a good guy up until about 75 grand.
If you'd offered me 40, I wouldn't have done it.
You know what I mean? That's brilliant. So, how did you become attracted to this show? How did you get cast?
I think it all started probably a couple of years ago.
Really?
The producers of the show is Studio Lambert.
Right.
My first contact with Studio Lambert came about 2 years ago, maybe even three now. I don't know. I did a show. Well, they contacted me via Facebook, so they use all sorts of manner of ways to cast people, even like being on the street in town centers and all sorts. But I was just messaged on Facebook. I can't even remember who the person was, but I ended up doing a show with my mum.
Wow.
Yeah. Like 2-3 years ago, the show was good.
What was it called?
It was called Meet the Parents. And
I think I remember that.
The concept of that show was a bit like Blind Date,
right?
But instead of meeting
your date, you meet their parents.
The date meets your parents, and they decide out of the three parents which son they then want to date.
That's arranged marriages for the Western world.
That sounds like a sick program.
Yeah, so that was like 2 years ago, and that. That obviously then introduced me to Studio Lambert.
Yeah.
I presume they probably liked me on that show or whatever. And then they kind of just kept in touch with me every now and then to do bits and pieces for them or like stuff. Most stuff was never aired. It's just like normal bits and pieces here and there.
But then they just kind of keep you on, they keep a rapport with you,
much
keep
on
you
the
on
books.
File.
So and then they just contacted me for this and they were like, you know,
hey, we've got a great opportunity for you. You've got a really good look and I think you'd be very good on this show.
Something like that. So yeah, it just, that's how it happened really.
And
the timing was impeccable because I had just been made redundant 2 days prior to
the movie. I'm not even going to lie to you. The same thing, like when I done Love Island, I was going to be made redundant like two months down the
line.
That's
mad.
You can't fire me! I quit!
literally.
You can't be made redundant from Blazing Squad.
No. Come on. No. I was working for another company, innit? But literally, it's mad. Because things just happen.
The timing just, yeah. And I thought, you know what? I've been pushed in this direction for a reason.
Yeah.
Because if I had my job, I would have had something to think about. Be like, oh no, I can't quite take that amount of time off.
But listen,
my man just literally came in on a Monday and I was doing my work Monday morning. By Monday afternoon, he sat me down. He was like, oh look, I'm making the company smaller. You're done out here.
Yeah. were you like last one in, first one out kind of thing?
No, I've been there for 4 years. Oh. Do you know what I'm saying? So it was just a little thing. I didn't even have time to be upset and think about my next move, to be fair, because 2 days later my phone rang and they were like, do this, we're starting it whenever. Do you know what I mean?
It's a good show to do.
It sounded by all accounts really interesting, and I'm genuinely gutted
amazing
that I haven't managed
man.
To see it yet. But can
weekend?
People catch up
yeah.
on it?
Yeah, it's on 4OD.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant.
It's on 4OD.
Yeah. I'm going to check that. I'm an OD. I'm not really.
They don't call it anymore 4AD for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I would have thought that in the planning meeting
all four,
that
is it all four?
They used, all think it's all four now. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought that in the planning meeting they would have kind of said a bit risque.
Yeah, I'm not sure. No, let's go with it. We're risque.
We'll try it.
It's fun, man.
I'm glad because you know a lot, just reading the story, even on paper, I genuinely thought we were going to get a guest in a straitjacket or something because that would drive me mad. That would drive me mad. What happened to you would actually drive me mad.
There was a lot of they had psychologists, as I'm sure they do for a lot of shows.
Yeah,
they had. There was a lot of them. Still.
Mm. How are you feeling today?
I'm sweet. I'm good now. You know what I mean? But at the time, I can't even lie. It is very, very, and perhaps that's something that I hadn't fully considered.
Yeah.
I knew it was always going to be tricky coming out and being in the public eye and going through the experience. But I don't think anyone can fully, fully mentally prepare you for having things play out on screen in front of people. In kind of almost like real time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, because the thing about it as well, you're thinking like there's bare people watching me
be embarrassed,
being played off, innit? Yeah. And it's like, rah,
I felt mucked off, like really, and I thought, oh my days, my boys are gonna kill me for this one. I got catfished twice. One was an old lady. Mad, sorry, Maraid. Mad.
Oh my days! Oh my days! I remember when she came into the show and she was like, "Yeah, she's playing this young thing," and all the girls like, "Yeah, she's buff." Like, all the girls,
catfish twice.
Yeah, literally within 2 days, and then the Alex thing happened 2 days later, and I thought they've just bought me on the show to just.
That's because Dan loves the church girls, isn't it?
Paintings in my DMs.
Trust me, like I'd probably fall for the same thing as well. Because the girls are good looking girls, isn't it?
Yeah, for real. They know you're a man of good taste, obviously. Speaking of good taste, let's play a game. I don't know. That's the shittest ever segue.
Let me get ready. Let's go into a little song so I can get everything ready. Pencil, paper, sick.
All right. Speaking of taste, let's get into some music.
Baby, I don't regret the things we've
Johnson. A lot of singer-songwriters are impressing me massively these days. Olivia J. Nelson was one of them. She and I expressed my kind of gratitude to her for her music when I heard her song, and then subsequently we got her in as a guest. Rena Mashonga, who just performed that song, not live, but she was in recorded it.
Yeah.
Oh wait, so she's already been on the show?
No, not yet.
I mean, on the station. Sorry.
No, she hasn't actually. She hasn't. Okay. I will try and get her in for you.
That was Rena Mashonga with Four Quarters, and I'm absolutely spellbound by that song. Really, really good tune.
I do love a bit of folkiness about it. There's a bit of folkiness about that track.
I was saying to Nat earlier on. In a roundabout way, that it kind of reminds me of what would happen if Kraftwerk met Mumford and Sons with vocals from like Leanne LaHavis or something.
Good analogy. Right.
Very cool.
Let's get on to our first game of the day. We know you like a game. I guess Marcel's kind of the reigning champion at the moment because he smashed
the pumpkin.
Listen. If this was Krypton Factor, I'd be the practical guy. And obviously, Michael will be the mental guy.
That's nice to have the skills there. If you're on Bullseye, the mental guy as well. He's just mental over there.
Okay. Just shouting at myself in the corner.
What I've got today is also, so you're all included in this game too, Dan. You were in a show called The Circle.
Certainly.
Things
was.
That are in a circle go around. And often they go backwards when they're anti-clockwise. So I've got some spooky songs that are backwards. We flip reversed it.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have to write down and tell me. I'll give you points for the artist. I'll give you points for the song. If you get a year of it, I'll give you points for it. I'll give points galore, basically. Sweet. I'm feeling very generous. I'm very generous today.
How many are there?
There are eight.
Okay.
So let's start with spooky song, circle, flip reverse, number one. Ooh.
Oh, wow. What the hell?
What's that? Do you need it again? Do you need a clue? What do you need?
Yeah, I'd love a clue.
Okay. Oh, it's such... This. Okay.
Not a bait clue.
No clue. Play it again.
Well, we need the year as well.
Come on, you don't know that one.
Everyone knows that.
It's an iconic music video that goes with this track.
Come on.
You got this song, have you?
I've already got it.
Are you serious? Yeah, Marcel's already, got it. Okay, he has actually got it as well. Right, no more clues.
Oh, man, really? I didn't even see his thing.
No more clues.
I can't remember what year it was.
Don't worry about the year. Let's move on to number two. Number two, here we go. What's that? Big tune.
Is it by a legend?
Not a legend, but you will know this song.
Why am I failing today? I'm getting scared.
The song features backing vocals from two members of a legendary Motown group. Which Motown group, I don't know because it's not on this bit of paper, but a Motown group.
I'm scared.
The Four Tops, Abs from Five. Oh, Jackson.
What?
I thought you said Abs from Five. I was like,
they were on Motown.
Jackson 5 was doing the backing vocals of this song.
One more time, please.
I know it was sampled into a dance tune a few years ago, the main hook from the song. You got this, right? Marcel, one pumpkin. It's like he's unleashed your power, Marcel.
Oh, wait. I know. It's crazy.
I'm fully lost. I don't even know. I can't even front.
All right.
Guess.
Okay.
Guess, yeah.
Guess. I'm looking at you.
Okay.
That was a big clue. Sorry, Marcel. He hasn't got it from that. Okay, this is number three. Come on. This was a top five hit. If I say where this person's come from, you would totally get who they are.
God, play
she
one
is
time.
Very well known.
Oh, what has happened to my brain? Have I smoked too much weed? Is it official
it finally
now? Have
happened.
I fucked myself up?
Wait, I've done it.
Okay, I can't believe this. This is like a Freaky Friday film where you've bumped into each other. And now Marcel's like, yeah, got it. And you're the one going, what? I don't get it.
I know what this one is, actually. Hold on.
Okay.
Go on, Tan.
I know exactly what song it is. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Next
okay,
one,
miss moving on to number four.
Come on.
We all know this one. This was a very famous theme from a film.
Alright, so
related in some way to Halloween.
The question is, who's the guy that sung it?
The original thing.
I need a full name.
I can't remember his name.
Mate.
What are you doing? You're like getting into the backwards. Marcel likes songs backwards. Okay. Number five. So easy, that one. Come on, don't be silly. Don't be silly.
One more time.
Come on. Are you feeling lucky? Are you feeling lucky? Such a fame. This is the easiest one of all. I can't believe, Marcel, you haven't even got this one today. When I play you the real version, you're going to kick yourself.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
I can't be that.
No black cats around today. No walking under ladders. Come on. I'm moving on. I can't give you more than that. Okay. Number six.
Wait, one more time with that. Please, one more time with that last one.
Yes, I'm good.
I think it's a full house for Marcel. I've got to move it on. Let's go. Number six.
Okay.
This is not a spooky song per se, but the video is. Okay. Big song.
Massive song.
Massive song. Marcel knows it.
It is a rhythm.
Everyone got something?
I'm so angry.
Okay, now moving on to number seven. Yeah, we've got that. This is more of a guitar-y sort of band, a New York three-piece fronted by a female singer.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Big clue, the word I just said there, but okay.
Wait, can you say it again?
I'm not going to repeat it.
Say the whole sentence.
That's a big clue there, yeah?
Just play the song again.
Yeah.
Big song, actually, as well. I'm moving it on. We're going on. We're moving to the final track, which is number eight. This could go with a banger. Like a sausage.
Oh, okay.
What goes with a sausage?
Stop that, Nat.
Sorry.
The clues are too bait.
They're not too bait. Dan's not finding them too bait,
are
you?
No, I'm really not, mate. I'm getting absolutely destroyed.
What do you need help with, Dan?
Everything.
Okay.
Life problems, financially, any way you can help me.
Let's start with a quiz and we can work from there. I'm going to get some answers from people, I think.
I need a couple again, man.
Okay, what do you need?
Bless me with one, three and five.
Okay, this is number one.
I think I might.
What was the clue for that again?
It's an iconic. It's too risky. What's the other? What's the other clue? The other one you need.
Three, please.
I think that one's a bit bait. Still, that's the only. I've only got two, and I think that's the one.
Okay. Maybe it's too contemporary for me.
Maybe I doubt it.
I mean, it's big. It's a big.
What's the other one you need?
Five, please.
Five. I'm shook about this one that you don't know. You haven't got this one. You're going to punch yourself in the face.
I can't deal with this, so I'm going for some answers. Marcel, I know that you got that right,
so someone else needs to answer that first. What did you get for Michael Payne, what did you get
for one? Nothing.
Dan, what did you get?
I don't know if I'm correct on this, but I got Destiny's Child Bootalicious.
Mm-hmm. And Marcel?
Bootalicious, Michael Jackson Thriller.
Oh my god. One point, play the bit backwards again.
Come on.
All right, yeah. Number two, Michael Payne. That's two points for you, Marcel. What did you get for number two, Michael Payne?
Somebody's Watching Me.
Okay, who's watching me?
I can't remember who it's by, I'm not going to lie.
What did you get, Dan?
It's by one of the Jacksons, isn't it?
I'm not saying a word.
I've got Jackson 5 ABC.
Okay, Marcel, what did you get?
I got Eddie Murphy.
Huh? No, it was Rockwell with...
Always Rockwell, Somebody's Watching Me.
Yes! Somebody's
watching me. But Eddie Murphy's in the video.
That's not the question, is it? I can't just have who's in the video. So
that's 1 point.
1 point. You did, what, so you got the song, did you?
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah, that is a point.
What was the title of the song?
Somebody's watching
okay,
me.
Okay, cool. I'll give myself right, a point okay. for that shit.
Now, you got a point. You got a point. Yeah, okay, shit. And then so what was number three, Dan? This was the easy one for you.
Rihanna Disturbia.
Uh-huh. And what did you get, Mars?
Rihanna Disturbia.
Uh-huh. What did you get, Michael Payne? Oh,
God, nothing. Play it again, okay, please.
Was it 2 points, is it? It was the kicks.
It was the kicks.
Right. That one a big song, that?
It was massive.
Really? It was a big song. Yeah. Okay.
That's what kind of crossed her over in many ways, because she was like the Lady Gaga kind of vibe.
Right. Number four, what did you get?
Ghostbusters. Can't remember the guy's name.
Uh-huh.
I called him Billy Jones, but Billy Jones Ghostbusters.
Okay, what did you get, Dan?
Sweet Nothing.
Sweet Nothing. No, of course it was. Who you gonna call? Ray Parker Jr.
I was thinking Ray J.
And Ray J. Okay, number five, Dan. What did you get for that?
I got very superstitious. I don't even know what I was going
okay.
with.
Okay, and do you know that who it might be by? You got a guess
at
the artist?
I can't remember the geezer's name.
Oh my god!
Flipping. What's his name?
Say
blind
it to
guy.
Me.
Blind guy.
No, I can't take blind guy as an answer. The blind guy.
Wait, I've got it.
No, you didn't get that, Michael Payne. I'm not blind, I can die.
I would have got that.
Superstition by Stevie Wonder.
That's right, but you didn't get that. Yeah, Dan, you get a point. Blind guy, technically correct.
Not today, Mr. Payne.
Yeah, do you know what?
Not today.
I'm not a blind guy, but it was. Okay, number six.
I'm so annoyed.
I'm so annoyed. You tried to write that down and think I wouldn't see it. You
all I got was Stevie.
Don't make it
and
wrong.
I ain't even got the line at the top of the E.
Mars, what did you get for
Backstreet
number seven?
Boys, Everybody?
Mm-hmm. Six.
I got that as well. Everybody, Backstreet.
I got Backstreet. I didn't even write Boys. I mean,
I allow it, though. What did you get for a track title? Anything? Did you guess?
I didn't put anything.
It's okay, it was.
So literally, I was at a Halloween party on Friday, and that went off.
Of course it has to.
It went off.
I'd literally just leave if everyone were dancing to that song.
Number seven. What did you get, Dan? Did you get anything?
I got No Doubt.
Okay. What did you get, Marcel?
Evanescence.
Mm-hmm. What did you get, Michael Payne?
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what the song might be?
Heads Will Roll.
Yeah. Points. Oh.
Pity Pal in your motherfucking bumper clock.
No, that one.
Big song, that is a good song, right?
Finally, I don't think if anyone gets the name of this artist fully correct, I'll just give them all the points. Everything will be all to play for because no one's gonna get it. Number eight, who was it? Not anybody.
Right, so I've got the Monster Mash.
Uh-huh.
And it's by the Graveyard Troopers.
Okay, what did you get, Dan?
Mash.
Okay, that's a point.
Mash Dash.
Mash Dash, sure.
I got Mash and then an Mash hyphen for mash some dash. Reason.
What did you get, Michael Payne?
I got Monster Mash. It's not by the B-52s.
No, it's not by them, you're correct.
Graveyard Troopers.
Bobby Boris
and the Graveyard Troopers.
The Graveyard Smash.
In last place, joint last place, it's Dan and Michael Payne with 6 points each. But Marcel... 10 points, rearing ahead there. You got it all. You got 10. How you got 11? How you telling me you got 11? You didn't get Rockwell. You got 1 point. You can't just put Eddie Murphy.
One point for things. No. Yeah. Rihanna, Disturbed, 2 points.
What was your problem?
Ghostbusters, 1 point. Stevie Wonder,
Superstitious,
2 points.
Oh, you did get Backstreet Boys. You're quite right.
11. 3 points. Marcel's got receipts, lad.
Come on, G.
Marcel came with receipts for 1 point. I didn't just win. I won by 5 whole points.
Okay. Yeah, well done. Well done, yeah, guys. Man. Well done, Dan. That's a very good, that. Very good.
I tell you what, yeah, I just saw producer Toby's reflection in the window.
Yeah.
And genuinely, it's Halloween, so I genuinely shat myself thinking someone was levitating past the window outside. So, yeah, how's everyone else's day going? I literally thought, what the fuck? But I said it in my head. Have you ever said, what the fuck, in your head?
Yeah. But what's nice is your eyes kind of betrayed
it. I stayed calm,
like,
but I have my eyes thinking, I need to really recognise this person.
I'm surprised you didn't leave, to be fair. Us black people don't play like that. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just like, oh.
I told you I'd come around and fucking with his pin.
If Marcel or Dan, if you did see someone levitating past the window, would you still be sat there?
Yeah, I'd just be like, see you later. Nice. Thank you for having me.
I had to just know I'm still a rational human being. I think that there's definitely an explanation for this.
Yeah,
definitely an explanation.
Like a reflection.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nice because we thought it was a vampire until then. So today we've learned he's not.
This is true, actually. I'm glad Kobe has a reflection.
It's good. Right.
Yeah, that was a good game.
We like that.
Man, seriously, thank you for coming in and not
thank
only playing
me,
the game with us, but shedding some light on the circle for me and anyone else who hasn't seen the show. Yeah. You can, of course, catch up on all the episodes More Four, or is it All Four?
All Four, I think it is now. Yeah, yeah. And you've just got a new podcast out, which was recorded in this very studio.
Yeah, in this very studio. Free Bar Radio was nice enough to allow myself and Alex to record our first podcast which is actually doing quite well at the moment. We only released it yesterday.
Brilliant.
It's been less than 24 hours.
What's it called?
It's called Dan and Alex on the Fence.
Nice.
On the Fence is one of the phrases that came up very often on the circle.
Right.
So it seemed fitting.
Yeah.
And it's already at number 15 before I checked.
Oh, congrats.
Before I came in here.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, doing well.
Yeah, nice. Man, I'll definitely check that out. So first episode's less than 24 hours old.
Yeah, literally.
Fresh.
Maybe I should catch up on that before the circle.
Yeah, you've got a lot to catch up
Putting
on.
Putting a lot on my plate right
now.
Need to listen to all the songs I know backwards. That's the first thing I
have. That's what I've done last night.
Not letting that happen again.
Yeah, it worked.
But thank you so much for joining us, bro. And if anyone wants to catch up on you, how can they do that on the social?
The best place to catch me is on Instagram, because I'm on there the most.
Same.
You can tweet me, you can Facebook me, but you get a slow response.
Mm.
My Twitter is DanTweets, and then the number 4.
Mm-hmm.
My Instagram is Danagram, DanaGram, with an underscore at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can find me there. DM me. I'll do my best to respond. I do my best to respond to everyone, but
do you check their real first?
When you come out, I was getting a DM every 10 seconds.
Yeah, like the notifications, the notifications just go
just,
off.
It's just
the thing pop off. You must have had to go through a fucking backlog of DMs.
There was bare, but then I somehow I don't know how I done it. I think I done it by accident. I deleted.
Yeah, you can do that. Just decline them, and then they go.
But I didn't mean to do it.
Nah.
And I woke up, I was like, oh shit.
Broke a 500,000 hearts.
I've only got 6 messages in here now.
I'm sure Dan takes a while. Probably, by the time he leaves here, he'll be checking that we're all real. He doesn't believe anything.
This is true.
You can't believe what you see.
You can't believe what you see these days.
This is true. Once again, thank you so much for coming to join us, Dan. You're a legend. Let's get into a song now.
And then we'll probably do a game off after that.
Amazing.
Another game.
Amazing.
Somebody put me on the leash, I'm bucking wild like the AK cause it came from Catra. I pointed down so you can't escape her. Even if you duck, duck, gooseneck, your Canada goose wet, barred up from your boots to your crew neck. This that blue flame, put the green to this shit, this that blue dream. Put your schemes to the test in real life, bet you need a vest, bet you need a vet. Niggas biting crazy, already seen a death by rabies. Niggas getting lazy, digging holes and pushing daisies. Boom, acting like it's gravy, looking crazy on the internet. Niggas dirty dancing, no Patrick Swayze. Lover, don't get caught on your Savion Glover for these white boys. They out here canceling plans at the last minute. You'll deny it, then admit it. That's hype, mad different. But I ain't mad, I'm high as a kite. Tripping, supplying the light. Niggas can't buy this advice, listen. Caution when questioning shit, niggas that claim you bitching. Get straight to the money whenever your hands start itching. Know that if you rhyme, you'll never be Micah Pippin. And you gotta know that ain't me dissing. Dodging smoke, screens, that ain't the piff in the air. Or niggas smoking different, could read the same Bible, but niggas quoted different. They finna do clean water just like prohibition. Already know the mission, why they keep on missing? We grow more efficient. Gotta have it. Please excuse the water bottle habit. Fingers spazzing. Make a nigga think the semi fully automatic. Fuck the dramatics. We get through them locks when they pad it. I never had it. Gotta get the free, gotta have it. Gotta have it. Please excuse the water bottle habit. Fingers spazzing. Make a nigga think the semi fully automatic. Fuck the dramatics. We get through them locks when they pad it. I never had it. Gotta get the free, gotta have it.
Yo, ayo, these niggas mad thirsty for the fame and glory. This is basic as a baby daddy on Maury. Fuck your fake chain blinging, auto-tune singing. I'm a killer beast straight out the hive and I'm singing. Dirty slang, Dr. Botox, your girl's lips up. We so training them like Don Canale, get your dick sucked. We fist fucking the money, we running down jewelers. We flooded backstage out like ice in the coolest. Fuck the rulers, Donald Trump is a piece of shit. I got 36 chambers, hollow tip in the clip. Smoke a dick, no time for the games and dramatics. We blessed every morning with today's mathematics. Put a hole in your cabbage, quick to fuck up your party. Off your whole set, nigga, you can ask Cardi. We used to lose our cracks and we was running from the Narkies. Now we watching Shark Tank, rolls up in the Marquees.
Gotta have it. Please excuse the water bottle habit. Fingers spazzing. Make a nigga think the semi fully automatic. Fuck the dramatics. We get through them locks when they pad it. I never had it. Gotta get the free, gotta have it. Gotta have it. Please excuse the water bottle habit. Fingers spazzing. Make a nigga think the semi fully automatic. Fuck the dramatics. We get through them locks when they pad it. I never had it. Gotta get the free, gotta have it.
Whoa, that song went mad.
Man, abrupt end.
No, because also it counted down to zero and then carried on counting back up again. Possessed. Possessed on Halloween.
It's Halloween. We needed some reverb on that one.
Honestly,
bro.
That Jesus. Was Mick Jenkins' Padded Locks featuring the legend that is Ghostface Killer. Perfect title for Halloween.
Yeah.
Ghostface
yeah.
Killer. One of the best names in rap.
If it we is, had that literally. Song on the round before, you still wouldn't have got it because you weren't getting it. But don't
Thanks,
worry.
Nat. Cheers
it's
for
game
that.
Number two. You got a chance to redeem yourself.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
Today is Halloween, so therefore it's horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We all love forte, a horror film. I must have. Okay, here we go. Whereas actually Michael Payne hates horror movies.
I do.
He
never seen one.
I think
I gave up on horror movies after watching. I can't remember what it was. Blocked it out, literally just pushed it to the back of my mind.
It might be one on this list. It might be one on this list. Okay, so I've got little clips to kind of go with it. So this let's start. So basically, do these horror films have a higher Rotten Tomato score? You can just say it out to me, I think.
Okay.
Higher Rotten Tomato score, which is a treat, or a lower score, which is a trick than the previous film. So let's start off with this film. I might give you a point if you guess the film, actually.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell, Karis.
Woo! Wait, what?
Your mother sucks.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
That's definitely The Exorcist.
Uh-huh. You get that. Marcel didn't get that, so there's a point straight to Michael.
Oh, Jim, we got shot at the same time.
No,
I was going to say.
No,
the
I just, I've never right. even
you know
seen
you
that
actually,
film.
You will know. Okay, so that is your mother's. So, The Exorcist was in 1973, and it's got an 86% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. But does this film?
Oh shit! Halloween. Michael Myers.
Creepy as hell. Does Halloween, which just came out in 1978, have a higher or lower score on Rotten Tomatoes than 86%?
I reckon treat.
Treats, which would be higher. Mm.
I'm going to say trick.
Treat is correct. Yes. It's got a 95% score.
Really?
Unfortunately, Marcel hasn't today now. So, so Halloween in 1978 has a 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. What about this?
Dum dum. Bomb bomb.
Omen. No, yeah, the Omen.
That's definitely creepy. Lower. That's very definitely creepy. Lower. That's a trick.
So that's a trick. So the Omen from 1976, original Omen, not the terrible remake. Michael Payne, are you saying it's lower or higher? Is it trick or treat?
I reckon it's trick, but only by a margin.
You both get points there. It is trick, but it's 86% it got there. Okay. So that's, you know, not too bad, yeah. Not too shabby.
Bit bigger okay. than the margin, I suppose.
Let's move on. So that's 86% for the Omen. This is...
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, yeah. That was in 1974. Is that higher or lower, trick or treat, than 86% score for the Omen?
Trick.
Treat, 88%. It's got higher.
Really?
Texas Chainsaw's got higher than the Omen on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Balls. Let's move on to... Scream, classic, from 1996, so a bit of a later one. Is that higher or lower than 88%?
So wait. So the
Texas
last one was what?
Texas Chainsaw.
Was 88.
88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
But just the thing, like thinking back to Scream now, I think Scream's a bit dead.
But Scream was seminal.
It was huge.
At the time.
Do you remember
Drew
Barrymore?
It was massive.
Do you know why? It was shocking because Drew Barrymore was a big star of the film, and then she gets killed in like the first scene. It was very you know.
I think trick.
Treat. It was trick. 79% it got. Lower than Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I'm just trying to follow up.
Drew Barrymore fans.
Yeah, right. Okay. So we had Scream on 79%, but what about...
Here's Johnny!
That's a treat. That's
the
a treat.
Shining.
That's a treat all day.
1980s. Treat, you're saying? What are you saying, Michael? You're right. It's a treat all day. That's 86%.
I would have been higher than that.
Yeah, I thought it should be in the 90s.
So far, Halloween's the one to beat on
95. Okay.
I can't believe that, though.
I can, kind of. It's
I don't know, man. I don't think it's one of the best horror films ever made.
But the thing, it's one of the most famous for a reason.
The Exorcist is very famous.
Yeah, but it's Rotten Tomatoes
as
well.
But this is mainstream. Like, mainstream-wise, I'd say it's more prevalent in... popular culture, Halloween. And also, isn't it Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
So...
maybe also they just got the new Halloween. I want new with Jamie Lee Curtis. Another Halloween film. You know, The Exorcist has been made into a TV series now, though. Just got cancelled in America. Did two series.
How many times can one person's head turn all the way around?
It's not the same girl. It's not Reagan. Right. It's different people that get possessed by Captain Howdy. Pazuzu. Pazuzu. That's the name of the creepy thing. Yeah.
Sounds like a character out of Lion King.
Captain Howdy. Okay, so where are we up to? We're on The Shining, which was in 1980 on 86%. But what about this creepy film? That's really creepy.
Yeah, was absolutely. That? It was 79%. That's a treat because Freddy is the film that scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
That was the original Nightmare on Elm Street from 1984.
That's getting that's 97.
Oh, on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. I say no, it's 1984. What do you mean? Right, okay. So you think it's higher than 86%?
I think higher as well.
You're both right. It's 94%.
Told you, bro. Freddy was the guy that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger. And Jason.
Can't go to sleep. Yeah,
so
Freddy and Jason.
That is Halloween and...
No. Michael Myers is Halloween.
Yeah.
From Friday the 13th, Jason.
That's it. Sorry. They are the two guys.
Yeah.
That whole 1-2, Freddy's coming for you.
So scary.
3-4, better lock your door.
Get a kid to sing it and it's 10 times
what
more scary.
What are the lyrics go? 5-6, 12, crucifix. Yeah. 7-8, better stay up late. 9-10, never sleep again.
7-8, I used to think I was just picked up an eighth. You got smoked tonight, motherfucker!
Finally, so we had Nightmare on Elm Street with 94%. What about this film?
Peter!
That was The Human Centipede from 2009. Have you all seen that film? That's
definitely a trick.
That's got to be a trick because I've got to have 29%.
Have you seen The Human Centipede?
Nope.
It's horrible.
It is horrible. I don't think you'd like it at all.
I can imagine what goes on.
You do get a point. Well, yeah, they're all joined up. The only person that's lucky is the person on the front because she doesn't have
to eat shit.
Yeah, they have to eat shit because they're all behind.
And she only has a person's human head up her ass to worry about.
She's only got that, but everyone
some
else.
Some people like that.
All the time. But then the kind of the shit, as you say, kind of has to go down through and then into the next person, and they shit that out to the next person. And so really it's not the person on the end's got the worst one because they just thought
because it's not their head up your ass, it's their mouth sewn to your butthole.
Their mouth is sewn to your bum.
That's it.
So your mouth is in a bum the whole time.
Yeah.
And then it's not good.
Jesus.
It's not the nicest thing. So the Human Centipede, you're saying trick or treat. You said trick, right?
Trick.
You're right, it's 50%.
Thank God for that.
Which means that, Jesus, okay, we changed here. Marcel, you have 3 points, right?
Yeah.
Michael, you have 5. Well yes. done.
Congratulations,
well.
Bro.
You've done well. That is the end of the show.
Thank you so much to all our guests. It was a very good show.
Kind of
cruised by really quickly as well.
Yeah.
But you know what they say, time flies when you've got guests like A Problem and Dan Mokosu coming on. That's the well-known phrase, surely. We got a packed show for you next week, but I don't know who the guests are.
I don't
want to
say who the
yet.
Guest is. It's an iconic guest in case it jinxes it. And it
Of course, I do know who.
It's a big guest next week.
Absolutely. It's got me stuttering and shit. Next week, in fact, I'm going to wear this same sweatshirt. Natalie knows why. For next week's guest.
Okay.
And Callum McSwiggan is up next.
He is up
with
next.
Guests including.
Sink the Pink. Who we saw at Mighty Hoopla.
We did at the Grace. At Mighty Hoopla, yes, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we saw them at, just before Grace Jones went on at Stand and Calling. Am I making that up?
They were at Stand and Calling. We did. Well, I don't. Yeah, they were at Stand and Calling. Yeah,
I remember seeing them backstage having a good chat with Harriet Rose.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Good stuff. Callum McSwiggan is up next. We're signing that now, but we'll see you on the M&M show 4 o'clock next Wednesday.
Let's do this. Going crazy.
Listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.